This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So the nominations for the Malacca state elections came in today and it looks like at the very least it's going to be a three-cornered fight all round. We'll get into that in a bit. And we're going to dive into how it's all shaping up.
Yes, you say three-cornered fight, but in some cases, five, six. Oh my God, when will it end? So Barisan Nasional, Perikatan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan officially announced their respective candidates. And if the Election Commission accepts the nomination papers, we'll see so there are 28 seats to be contested. And I'm just going to break it down. We'll see three-cornered fights in 11 of those seats, four-cornered fights in 9 seats, five-cornered fights in 5 seats, and six-cornered fights in 6 seats. Quite an interesting one that's shaping up to be.
Yes. So all the options from triangles to hexagons are basically available in this election. And some interesting notes, I suppose. It's the maiden appearance, actually, of Putra. First of all, Parti Bumiputra Perkasa Malaysia. They're expected to contest for at least 5 seats, and that would make it a four-cornered contest in those areas. Muda, also, despite previously stating that it had it intended to contest, has now decided to take a neutral stance. And one notable candidate, there are lots of new candidates, but one notable one is 21-year-old Farzana Hayani Mohamed Nasir. She is the chief of Malacca PKR Sri Kandi, which is the women's youth wing.
The other thing, of course, that has been drawing a certain amount of attention is pushback against party hopping, right? Because that's something that Pakatan Harapan has been quite critical about. But then now we see them fielding candidates from, you know, basically who topped over from UMNO. So I think besides that, the backdrop of pandemic, SOPs. So Malacca elections, or the polls rather, are shaping up to be something that's drawing a lot of attention for a variety of reasons, many of which seem to revolve around this idea of things being new, things being different, or are we seeing a sort of new path as we move forward?
So we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts now that the nominations are in for the Malacca state elections? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to get into all the corners, all the nooks and corners of this, we are joined by Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director at REFSA. Iskandar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Sharmila. Always good to be here.
So, like we said, I mean, we're kind of amused by it, but it is serious business. We'll be seeing a minimum of three cornered fights or more in all 28 seats in the Malacca polls. How do you think that will shape the dynamics in the election?
So, I think since 2018, multi-cornered fights will become a norm. And I think we can't disregard that it will happen again in upcoming elections, ultimately the 15th general election. As for the dynamics, it's hard to say for certain. While last election did happen in a three-corner way, this will be also Perikatan Nasional's brand debut in Malacca. So not just Putra, but PN will be making its maiden appearance in Malacca. And we can't extrapolate from GE14 because there's also another factor that we need to look out for, which is a low turnout due to a few factors, being afraid of COVID-19, the restrictiveness of the mobility, also the disillusionment from some voters towards the politicking, the endless politicking that they are seeing. And also, there are some certain segments of society or voters that has a misconception that the nature of this election is a by-election rather than a state election. So a lot of factors that can interact with each other that result in becoming this election a bit of uncertainty in predicting this election.
So this means that we will be seeing a clash among several Malay Muslim parties in the election, right? There's UMNO, there's Bersatu, there's PAS, and now there's Putra. How is this significant?
The fact that there are more Malay Muslim parties contesting this time around shows that there are no party that can claim a monopoly on the Malay cause anymore. UMNO can no longer claim that it's the dominant party representing the Malays. While religious and racial sentiment will likely still be used among these players, the impact on voters is less certain. We wouldn't know whether it goes to UMNO, Bersatu, or maybe Putra. So that's the $1 million question.
So tell us a bit about Putra. What do we know about the party and its candidates?
So Putra is short for Parti Bumiputra Perkasa Malaysia. So as the name says, it's part of a vehicle from Ibrahim Ali of Perkasa, a former independent candidate of Pasir Mas. It was formed in 2018 and I think approved by ROS, ROS in 2019. So I think their voter target or group target is mostly UMNO and Bersatu's voter share. So I think we wouldn't know how it will fare. This will be its maiden debut. Let's wait and see.
Now, we are also seeing names like former Chief Minister Dato' Sri Idris Harun and Dato' Nur Azman Hassan entering the fray, both formerly from UMNO, of course, now running under the Pakatan Harapan banner. What do you make of this, especially considering Pakatan's stance on party hopping?
So, to the question of why they fill them, that you need to ask the Pakatan Harapan representative. But I think my assumption would be is to make some inroads into new territories. As we've seen, both of these candidates are contesting in non-Pakatan Harapan seats, except Idris Harun, who is contesting in Asahan, which is a Bersatu seat, used to be Pakatan Harapan. So it's a, I think it's a bet or a strategy by Amanah and PKR especially to break the ground. And as we've mentioned earlier, there are now more Malay, Muslim or Islamic parties contesting. So this might be one of their gambit to grab that voter share.
Now, BN, PN and PH have all fielded a number of new candidates in this round. Who among them have stood out to you? I mean, does having many fresh faces actually impact perhaps how voters might choose in this election?
Well, a number of under 13 candidates were notable to see. It's a breath of fresh air, even for Barisan to fill new faces. Of course, PH also registered new faces and Perikatan. And as you mentioned, we've seen as young as 21-year-old Farzana being fielded in this current bout of election. It is still early days to say which candidates will grab the voter mind share. They say a day is a long time in politics. What more, 14 days? That could be an eternity. So I think personality will become secondary. COVID-19 previously has taken a greater toll among the youth. Joblessness were high, and then if you compare among the youth, it's higher than national average. Tourism has suffered in Malaysia, costing Malaccans their bread and butter, their income, their rice bowls. Flood issues as recent as last week became the bane for the electorate. So offerings by either three coalitions to solve these issues that affect their livelihoods and lives will be front and center. So any coalitions that wants to win, need to come up with a clear and concise articulation of narrative on agenda to move the state and nation forward.
So overall, who are the key personalities that we should be keeping our eye on?
Well, a few seats, I think, would be quite interesting. The seat of Pekalan Batu, where the three-time independent or more than that, I lost count. Nur Hisham Bakti used to be DAP, UMNO, and then DAP, now independent. So that has five cornered fight, including the young candidate from DAP, Danish Zainuddin. So that's one interesting fight. The other one is also the fight between Rauf and Mas Ermiyati, the candidate from PN. So here we are seeing allies turning enemies, and I'm not sure how the this week's cabinet meeting will be. It'll be quite an awkward meeting, I guess. So those are, I think, the top two seats I think would be interesting. Sure, there are a lot more seats that we can focus on as the week progresses.
So what do you think the Malacca election will tell us about the upcoming power tussle in GE15? I mean, we have to ask you, right? Like, it's a crystal ball question, I know, but still.
So Malacca is a testing ground. It's a battle royale between three governments. So these three governments have had their time, and voters should know the good and the bad of each of them. We have Pakatan Harapan, we have Barisan Nasional and Perikatan Nasional. So it's up to each of them to position themselves and differentiate from one another. Those who can excite voters can get voters to come home to Melaka to vote, and to come out to vote, the Melakans to come out to vote will be the winning coalition. It's also interesting to see that if this, for PAS, if this makes an inroad for them in Melaka due to their alignment with Perikatan Nasional, this could be the nail in the coffin for Muafakat Nasional, its coalition or arrangement with UMNO. So that is interesting to see. Any learnings of outcomes from this Melaka state election will definitely be used by each coalition to chart their course for the upcoming GE15, maybe next year or the year after.
And finally, what are your thoughts on the SOPs that have been announced by the Election Commission for the Melaka election?
Well, I find it a bit difficult to digest because on one hand, you have Melaka taking into a recovery, phase four recovery SOPs, where restaurants can be visited, other places of interest can be visited. But then you have, on the other hand, the bans of gatherings that I'm not sure whether they will be policed or enforced justly. That is one concern. The other concern is whether, since the absence or the banning of gatherings and other traditional campaigning methods, will each of the parties be given fair airtime in national broadcasts, RTMs, the Bernamas, the state-backed media, so that they can reach the voters that they are traditionally they aren't able to reach. So these are the main concern, media access, and whether the rules and regulation being imposed will they be enforced in a fair manner.
Iskandar, as always, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Sharmila.
That was Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director at RIFSA, weighing in on the multi-cornered fights that are emerging in the Melaka polls. As always, send your thoughts our way. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.